Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts. Bryce Holdaway, co-host of Location, Location, Location Australia on Foxtel's Lifestyle Channel, and Ben Kingsley, Chair of Property Investors Council of Australia and the 2014 and 2015 Property Investment Advisors of the Year.
All right, folks, you're on the Property Couch, where each week Ben and I bring you the insider's guide to property finance and money management. Welcome back to the couch, mate.
Thanks, mate. Yes, love Thursdays.
Yes.
Love getting into it. Great guest today.
We have got a great guest today. Stick around for this, folks.
Yes.
In fact, we'll give a little hint. It's a repeat guest.
Yes.
And back by popular demand.
Yeah, so, well, we put a survey out there and his name came up and here we are.
Oh, you just give him a little breadcrumb then. You said his.
Well, so still, people don't know.
They might have a little. Hey, before we get there, did you know, Ben, and I'm not stealing your segment here. It's Feel Good February.
Oh, okay.
And last week we talked about mindset with dance.
Yes.
Today we're going to talk about mindset.
Yes.
So we are just... We accidentally fell into that theme because we didn't realise until Ivis just told us that it's Feel Good Feb.
So. But the reality is it's a new year and the first quarter of the year we want to be focusing in on attitude, mindset, actions, all of those things. And we can give some data dives. Because I'm excited about giving some data dives, new segment
stick
coming
around
up,
for the Did
some
You Know.
Data dives, and we've got some Did You Know as well.
And a shout out to all the regular gym goers. They're probably finding a car park really easy at the gym now because all the news resolutions are over. All the January car park was full. February, there's plenty of spots for your
car. Now work's dragging me back till all hours. Exactly. I just can't get to the gym.
Hey, we did a Facebook Live yesterday, Ben.
We did.
We're calling it 15 Minutes on the Couch.
Yep.
It went really well, Ivis. So we're actually going to do it regularly.
Okay.
So a couple
Good
of things.
To know. In my diary.
Couple of things I want to highlight here. One, if you're not on our community list, Ben,
yep.
You're not getting advance notice that we're going to be on. So right. You need to go to the homepage,
yep.
Download Money Smarts, and actually get on the list, and we'll make sure we let you know.
Beautiful.
Number two, took three takes, Ben.
We've got a professional producer. How does that work?
Ivis knows this is coming, right? But the first two takes that didn't work.
Oh, here we go.
We're on a Samsung.
Samsung.
The pillow's coming. And the third one that did work, we had to bust out my iPhone. Bang.
Oh.
Without incident, Ivis.
Could have been the network that she was on.
So all the Android users who listen to our podcast, they're still hating me right now, but I said to Ivis, this is coming.
Nothing wrong with a good Android phone. Watch out for the new Google phone. It's going to be very special.
Mate, are you on the payroll at Google? Seriously?
Are you on the payroll at Apple?
Okay, fair call. So stick around for your Did You Know at the end. You've got some data.
Well, you know, it's the markets. It's the big news of the week in terms of the stock market, so we'll have a little quick deep dive.
My mindset minute today, just to warm us up for our special guest. Being busy doesn't mean doing stuff. Being productive means getting stuff done. Mm. So people
Love
wear
it.
This busy as a badge of honour.
Yeah.
And the fact that, how are you going? I'm busy. And if you don't actually say that, you almost feel guilty that you're not busy because people are wondering what you're doing. So I use that as a very good segue, Ben, because I know that our guest today wants to talk about guilt.
Yes.
And let's reveal that back by popular demand, is Chris Helder.
Where's me blower?
You need your blower. Welcome back to the podcast, Chris.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Good to be back. You're getting the blower.
There it is. Now, as soon as we hear the American accent, everyone goes, that's right. We remember Chris, episode 113.
Yes.
Talking about useful belief, Ben.
Love it.
It was a very popular episode.
It was.
And it's had some... I listened to it again just recently, and there is some timeless gold. So if you're hearing our podcast for the first time and you're listening to Chris today, and you haven't heard that one, Ben, you should go back and listen to that as well. Episode 113 was on the 27th of April last year.
Correct, because what we're going to talk about is sort of hand-in-glove stuff. It all comes together, doesn't it? I mean... Chris has got three best-selling books, The Ultimate Book of Influence, Useful Belief, and now the latest book, which Chris came out...
Well, it just came out last week. 1st of February, it launched Cut the Noise.
Cut the Noise.
But did we hear it first here on the Property Couch? Because you left plenty of breadcrumbs last time we were chatting about the keynote, about the book. You must have been in the thick of writing
it. Bryce, it's very possible that I was in the thick of writing it and very excited about the content that was going on at that time. So, because I definitely gave you a few breadcrumbs.
You did. Congratulations, firstly.
Yes, thanks very much.
It's called Cut the Noise, Better Results, Less Guilt. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Guilt.
We're eliminating guilt from the world. How's that sound?
Yeah, I reckon that would be good.
There you go. So,
health.
Now, the idea of Cut the Noise is this is a book about effectiveness. This is a book about right now we are, I mean, guys, I think we're inundated more than ever before with noise. We are inundated with news and fake news and deceptive news. And we're
just alternative truths.
Alternative truths.
Just an alternative. There was just as many people at the inauguration.
Oh, my goodness.
Just an alternative truth.
Look, it's media. It's social media. I think it's all these things. And it is. It's incredible. I think a lot of people right now are feeling overwhelmed, and they're eating protein. They're not supposed to eat sugar. Are they eating carbs? They're not supposed to eat carbs. Are they supposed to breastfeed? Are they not breastfeeding? Are they drinking while they breastfeed? And 2 weeks later, it seems like the whole thing switches around again. So, look, I do think people are in a state of overwhelm, and really, this book is designed to help people gain clarity about what matters and what does not.
Who should pick this up? Who of our listener base are thinking, is this for me? Who's it actually been written for?
This is a book for any person who wants to achieve more out of their life, gain greater clarity about their life, and eliminate the things that don't matter from their life. Mm. You know, I do find right now there's, you know, so many people, both men and women, and you know, there's the woman who's trying to be the you know, the perfect wife. She's trying to be the perfect partner. She's still trying to be the perfect employee or run the business and find time somehow to go to yoga class and still go to the gym. And when they can't do that, they'd love to still contribute to the community or the school. They can't do all those things. And, you know, you try, but, you know, all this mythology around having it all, when the reality of it is, you know, when you can't do all those things, people feel guilty and they feel bad that they're not doing this and bad that they're not doing that. And it just sets us up for this world of trying to be perfect. And I'm a big believer that perfection gets in the way of an outstanding life. And, you know, it's not about being perfect. And it's not about feeling guilty around everything. There is reality that we have to deal with.
Look, and the socials in terms of, you know, the platforms, we know what they're called, Facebook, Instagram, all of those types of things. You know, they're shop fronts to our lives. And what are we doing with our shop fronts? We're putting the very best of ourselves up there, and we're seeing the very best of others, when in reality, that's not real.
We're comparing our behind the scenes with their highlights reel, and you're never going to stack up if you're doing that sort of comparison.
That's exactly right. Well, I'd love to know the last time someone went on Facebook and went, man, I feel better, man. I just feel I feel great about myself after going on Facebook and seeing everybody else with their perfect lives and their, you know,
perfect meal that they're eating.
Their meal, their long legs looking at the pool, everybody, you know, and we've always had things to aspire to be. I mean, there's always been supermodels and cars, and there's been beautiful homes and beautiful things to aspire to be. The difference is we're competing today. You know, we're all trying to put our best version of ourselves out there at the same time. And look, it sets us up to feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah. So, Chris, I want to explore it a little bit more, because do you still believe that mentors, either, you know, direct mentors that you have a relationship, or indirect mentors, or people that you admire, they are still good things, aren't they?
Oh, 100%.
So it's a different sort of story we're talking about here.
Different story. And I think there's probably a level of perspective with all of it. And you know, having a mentor, having aspiration, being accountable, working with someone who's going to help us or aspiring to be something and setting that goal in place. And I know the last time we were together, we talked about goals, set those behaviors in motion. Those are all fantastic things.
Yes.
Fantastic things. But it is, and this book is, very much about being conscious. Because I think if we're in control, we're conscious and we're aware and we're making the calls ourselves. If we're just flicking and now we're reacting, we're the pinball in the pinball machine, and now all of a sudden our self-image can take a beating.
Mm. You, when we were, before we hit record on this, you talked about there was a particular persona of reader that was really resonating with the book. Can you expand on that a bit more?
Well, the reality of it is, I've gotten incredible feedback from women, in particular on this book, and I just think this idea of guilt is resonating, and the book is Better Results, Less Guilt. Mm. I've got a brand new idea that I introduced in this book called 10 Seconds of Guilt, Move On, and I know I briefly touched on it in April, but in reality, we take a look at the fact that we can't do all things. Mm-hmm. And I've identified six things that are important to human beings in the book. And there's really just these six. Number one, obviously, is family. And whatever that means to you, whether that's your parents or your partner, or your children or your cats, whatever it is, that's your family. Number two is your work. And I believe work is important. Success is important. It's important to model success. It's important for your self-image around that level of work and whatever that means. Number three is friends. And those are real friends, not Facebook friends. They're real people.
Come on.
Come on. Human beings that we actually interact with. Number four is health and what we're doing around that health piece. Number five is the often missed me time. And mm-hmm. and I say me time, you know, that could mean many, many, many things to many, many people. And number six is community. And again, that can mean many, many things to many, many people. But ultimately, what are we doing to contribute? What are we doing to give back? Now, those are the six things that are important to human beings. We cannot be perfect in all six of those areas. We're busy people. We're successful people. At some point, work, there's some days work commands all our time, and that's going to be at a sacrifice of family. And we're going to feel guilty about that. However, all the studies say this. You feeling guilty is not going to actually make you more successful at anything. Yeah. You not being home, I mean, I imagine you could call home, gentlemen, and you could say, honey, I'm so sorry that I'm not there tonight. Really, that's not helping her, right? That's not helping anyone. So the reality is, I look at it like this. When I'm at home and I'm dialed into my family, and that's home time. Mm-hmm. Turn that phone off. And I talk about in the book accelerated focus. And dial in with an accelerated focus. When you're at work, dial into work. Mm. And really get into that. And you know what? If you can't be home one night, it's not the end of the world, right? Sometimes we have to work. And again, that idea to take 10 seconds to go, all right, I feel guilty. I'm conscious about the feeling of guilt. I'm not going to dwell on it because there's nothing I can do. So I'm going to exit that feeling, right? I'm going to dial in at work. And when I'm home, I'll do the same thing.
Because previously you talked about that's when you're traveling, you do talks all around the world. Yeah. You could dial into local talks, but you choose not to. So that's where you go, okay, I've dealt with that. I've acknowledged that I do feel guilty, but I'm not prepared to not take those opportunities elsewhere. And therefore, you're able to be, as you say, present where you are and present when you come home.
And Bryce, I can even bring it. Let's bring it even to a practical place that I imagine most listeners can totally relate to. I was sharing this with a guy recently. He's a high-flying finance guy in Melbourne. He said he likes to work out at lunch. And he's gained a little weight. He needs to lose a little weight maybe. But anyway, at 11:30, he says every day, the same thing happens. I think to myself, I've got to go to the gym. I need to go to the gym. I need to go to the gym. He goes, but then I think I'm too busy. I can't go to the gym. And I should go to the gym. I'm not going to go. And he goes, some days I don't go to the gym. But the whole time I don't go to the gym, I'm at work. I'm thinking I'm going to be productive, but I'm feeling guilty. Mm. And I'm looking, in his words, I'm looking at my fat guts, thinking to myself, I should be at the gym. He goes, other days, I actually do go to the gym. And when I do go to the gym, he goes, the whole time I'm on my phone. Mm. And he goes, I'm not focused, and the quality of the workout is low. So again, whatever we're going to do, let's dial in with a level of accelerated focus, acknowledge the feeling of guilt, and exit the feeling. Mm. And, you know, again, I think this is so important. I was, raised by a woman who introduced this idea to me. My mother introduced this idea to me. I would come home. I'd have bombed a math test in eighth grade. And she would say to me, I'd be there going, I'm so stupid. How did I do this? Why did I do this? And she'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. She'd say, let's stop. What did you do well? What didn't you do well? And we'd work it through. Mm. And the working through bit's important, obviously, hugely important. And then she'd say, all right, done. Is there anything we can do about this? Or exit the feeling. I'd come home from a party. I would have said something stupid. I'd have been like, oh, mom, I said the dumbest thing at the party tonight. I was talking to this girl. I was stupid. You know what? And she'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on. And we work it through. What went well? What didn't go well? And then she goes, is there anything we can do about it? Fine. 10 seconds of guilt. Move on. Mm. And, actually, I was sharing this at a conference recently, and this woman raised her hand, and I was like, actually, I don't think we're doing questions, but so what's that? Sorry, we're going to, and she said, Chris, I just wanted you to just quickly know I was raised Irish Catholic. I'm going to need 7 minutes. 7 minutes of guilt, and then I can move on. I'm like, all right, you can take the 7 minutes, no problem.
But it is important to also understand that we don't want to get ourselves into a situation where we have that 10 seconds of guilt, and then we move on. But we've still got to communicate to the other party.
Yes.
It still needs to be, you need to, loop back to that story. I mean, because I'm the classic. Honey, I'm leaving in 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then I get in the car 45 minutes later and said, I'm leaving now.
Great point.
So I do have that I've said one thing, I've acted in a different way because something's popped up and I just need to get that clear.
But she's I'm a workaholic. Ben, she's got the formula.
She knows. She rings you.
5 minutes to whatever you say.
But I think the point there is, you know, obviously I get to the stage where I don't feel as guilty, but that's because I talk to her about that and say, I'm making a conscious choice that if I can get that extra 30 minutes there, then when I do arrive home, I'm in the zone. As you say, I'm dialed in, yep, in terms of what that looks like. As opposed to if I get home, the first thing I'm thinking about is that one thing that's sitting on a deadline that I've got to push the button on,
yep,
and I'm not there. You know, so that's important one.
It's a great point, and I do want to make the distinction. We're talking about things and situations that you can't control. Obviously, guilt from a perspective of behavior. Yeah. A child misbehaves. They feel guilty about that behavior. They need to feel guilty to learn that lesson. So we're really talking about a situation where you haven't been to the gym today.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up. We live in this world. We have to be perfect. You're not allowed to age. We live in this world of airbrushing, right? And you know what? If you miss the gym one day, stop beating yourself up about
correct
it. Lock
stop
it
sweating
in
the small things.
And tomorrow, yeah, make a plan. And I just think, you know, this is a book about really becoming clear about feeling better about yourself. It's a book about, you know, being nicer to yourself and that whole process of that, you know, constant sort of I'm not good enough or I'm making mistakes and I can't be perfect because we can't be perfect. You know?
You find that comfort zone, and when you do, you know, internally, when you know you're relatively balanced, you've got all of those things, your outlook is more excited.
Mm.
You know, whereas you're hanging on to all of these things and you're just productivity. You talked about it before. You're just not there because you're not clear in terms of what it is. So you get that happiness piece right, you get that balance right, and bang, you move into that excited outlook.
And make no mistake, this is about effectiveness. This is a book about result. It's about making more money. It's about being more successful. It's about being more of you, more present. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, I mean, people always say to me, Chris, I'm a fantastic multitasker. I'm an amazing multitasker. Well, all the studies say this. If you're a fantastic multitasker, congratulations. Because when you read this book and you dial into accelerated focus, you're going to be much more successful again.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, can we delve into the title, Cut the Noise? Is that, for the benefit of the listeners, is the context of that cut out a lot of the distractions, or is it saying get crystal clear on what it is that you need to be happy and then make sure that you prioritize those things and get... What was the thought behind the title for you?
I think the process was the latter, that I think the first piece of it would be the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just that's where I go with those six, what I call circles of importance. I think gaining that level of clarity and then identifying what serves that clarity and what doesn't serve it. One of the words that I'd love people to get better at using off the back of reading this book is the word no. and starting to think about, you know, hang on, this doesn't serve me. This is, and to tie back to useful belief, this isn't useful. There are activities that are income producing. There are activities that are not. There are people that are useful. There are people that are not useful. And again, you know, we can start to decide, you know, there's no question that our attitude is an average of the people we spend time with. And, and you know, we start thinking about who's delivering noise that's not serving us. And there is so much. I even think, you know, we talked about the social media briefly. There is so much just noise that people take on board and they listen to. And then to your first point on just flat out distraction, I mean, how often are our listeners in the course of a day just stopping what they're doing and checking Facebook, checking likes? And then having that, you know, again, I mean, all the studies are there on your dopamine hit that you get when you get 10 new likes and that addiction that starts to happen. And listen, we're all guilty of it. I was fourth in the queue at Subway about a month ago. Fourth. And like, how long is it going to... There's three people working, making these sandwiches and wraps. And I just want to say, with three people working, I'm fourth in the queue. What are we looking at? A maximum of what? I got a 90-second wait time at the top, right? That's at the top end. And my phone was burning a hole in my pocket. You know, just... Can I just sit here for 90 seconds and not have to just flick? Because we don't even look at anything, do we? No. We just flick. It's just flicking, flicking, flicking. Yeah. It's not even... And again, it's just noise for our head.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm addicted to distraction. I find it very difficult to unwind the addiction to the phone. Old mate over here is pretty good, but
I've got 15,000 emails in my inbox.
Yeah, but you don't sit there at the lights and check Facebook or anything.
No, but
like
I've probably got
you
about,
don't even respond to my text.
Probably got about 70 hours of stuff that I said I'll get to that. I'll read that.
But you'd be familiar with Tony Robbins' six core needs, right? The,
yep.
You know, certainty, uncertainty, yep. Love and connection, significance, growth and contribution. And the challenge with Facebook is that, you know, Tony Robbins says three or more of those means that you get addicted. And Facebook provides connection,
yep.
It provides you significance,
yep.
It provides you the uncertainty. If I think about it, there's actually another one. So that's actually hard to unwind. So I think the key point that you made before was being dialed into focus. Because when you said before, get used to the word no, my wife and I have had to actively plan for no. So we've got a saying now, if it's not hell yes, it's hell no. When we're making a decision. And tied to that, this year we're not going to do obligation. So instead of we're obliged to go, we're going to say, well, that's actually cutting into our rejuvenation time because we've got young kids, we're running a business, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if it's not hell yes, it's hell no, and we won't do obligation. And the last one we do is we don't say other people's no for them.
Yeah,
so
right.
an example came up this morning where we got my son's party this weekend and my wife's heavily overwhelmed. And I said, well, we need to delegate some stuff. And she goes, that person's... And I said, don't say their no for them. Ring them and ask them if they will be able to help you.
Yep.
And if they can, they can.
Yes.
And if they can't, they can't. But at least you're not trying to wear yourself out and be everything to everyone. So know when to say no and know when to ask for help and don't say other people's no for them.
And if you're listening, Andrea, because we know you don't listen, she puts on a good spread, right? And the place is all... It's all about that image. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it's okay because these guys, high aesthetics, everything, you know, in its place, has its place, all very well organised.
She's got to have the little top on the cake that matches all the lolly bags. I said,
so she enjoys it. She gets some joy out of it, but she also carries that weight.
Of course.
Look, Jane's the same. Like we've got someone, we're renovating at the moment. Place is a bomb shot, right? We've got someone staying at our house tonight. And she's like, no, you can't stay. Like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
He's a bloke. He doesn't think about
okay.
it.
He knows. I told him the place is full of dust. You know, you're going to be in a room without dust and there won't be any sawing until at least 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So, useful belief, Jane, is he's really happy about that because tomorrow night he's rooming with you and he has to room with the world's loudest snorer.
So. Well, no, that's it. And I can be the same. If I'm throwing a dinner party and I talk about this idea of don't be too attached to the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
We can only set it up the way we can set it up. And you know, if I have a dinner party, my wife gives me a hard time because I walk around wanting to make sure everyone's having fun. Bryce, you having fun? Is everything all right? Do you need anything? Is everything, Ben, you good? Everything's having fun? Ibis, you're all right. And you know, she tells me, she says, Chris, everybody's good. Let it be, you know, and sometimes, you know, there's two things in the book I talk about. One, don't be too attached to the outcome. Mm-hmm. We can, again, that's that whole need for perfection. Mm-hmm. And also, what we're actually doing at that point as well is we're trying to control something that's out of our control. And that's a no-win game whenever you try to control something that's out of your control. And the other one I talk about, I tell a story about my son.
You're in Disneyland?
Yeah, we're at Disneyland, and they can read it. But
That's a good story.
Well, I was at Disneyland with my son, and you know, this is back a few years ago, and he was going through a Lightning McQueen phase of from Cars, and it was great.
I went through that phase.
It was a great show. And it was just him and I, and I had this agenda, right? I mean, whether it's the house being perfect for the guests, but my agenda was, this has got to be the greatest day ever, right? And you know, there we were, and it was a great day. We saw Lightning McQueen, and there we were, but we were in the Finding Nemo ride, and I was just trying to pitch it to him. I really was. I was like, Billy, man, we're gonna see Crash the Turtle, and we're gonna see Dory. You know, we're gonna see everybody down there, and the whole cast is all gonna be there. And you know, he had had a big day, and he put his hand on my elbow, and he looked at me, and he said, Dad, we'll see what we see. And you know, that
the wisdom
from the mouths of babes come worlds.
That's the oracle right there.
The words of wisdom, and the reality for me is that's now become a family mantra. And we literally will be on holiday, and you know, we'll be heading off on a bike ride, and we'll be like, who knows? But we'll see what we see, and it's really just become this. this thing, and we always give him credit. We say, as the great Billy Helder said, we'll see what we see. And it is something that really does help. You know, I think, you know, we can't predict what's going to happen. We've prepared ourselves in this situation. We've made an educated decision. We're going to go out there. We're ready. Hey, come on. We'll see what we see. And often in that process, of course, you see maybe another path, which is actually even a better path than what we thought. So that's
yeah. When I read that story, I heavily related to that, and I think I can take on board. You know, because I'd be the same as you with the boys. So I think we'll see what we see is a brilliant mantra. I think
I did a Kentucky pilgrimage. You know, like the European sort of thing that you do when you're in your early 20s, right? You sort of, it's a safe way of going. Now our tour guide, she gets on the bus. There's 50. You know, Aussies, Kiwis, Canadians, US people, it's nuts, right? It's going to be a crazy trip. But she's sort of saying, you know, okay, we've got a 21-day itinerary, whatever it's going to look like. We're all sitting there. But here, we've got a theme song. And the theme song was, it's like that, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And she plays it everywhere. She goes, guess what? We're going to get to places, and it's not going to go well.
Yep.
We're going to be in lines for 3 or 4 hours to see, you know, beautiful artwork. It's just going to be like that. And that's the way it is.
That's awesome.
It's a great way to set up what you're about to go on.
And as soon as you have that, whether you have a mantra like, you know, that's the way it is, or we'll see what we see, or useful belief. And when that's conscious, again, going back to just living a conscious life, when that's at your conscious awareness, you don't get upset about stuff that 90% of the people are carrying on about, ruining their holiday, and they're going to miss. They're going to miss seeing what they should see.
Absolutely awesome.
Chris, you talk in the book about how you should put your runners next to the alarm clock away from the bed. Can you tell us a bit more about that story?
Yeah, this is big for me. I 17 years I've been a professional speaker. I've now done over 2,300 presentations. And one of my great frustrations is, of course, what we all hear is that sometimes what's happened over the years and what's happened to all of us as we went to a conference is you get pumped up, you go there, you get excited, you write stuff down, you go, these are my action list from the conference. And then, of course, you get back into habit and you fall back into busy and you fall back into the office. And I talk about the fact that we file those notes away in the saddest, loneliest place in every office is the land of the unread, unactioned, unused conference notes. The yellowing pages flickering in the wind. Yes.
I was going to say, I can actually find your keynote notes within 10 seconds on Evernote. So
there we go.
That's my life hack.
He is
on the top of it, but I get you the 99% back.
Look, and that's awesome, and I'm thrilled to hear it.
He's the 1%.
I said like a tosser now. I don't know.
Look, I'd like, you know, at the end
but
of the day.
Most people don't.
A lot of people fall back into that. And so I became obsessed a few years ago about what is it really that gets people to take action and they actually start to make change. And the reality of it is for people to make change, because we've all heard, and I'm not having a go at my industry here, but maybe a little bit. But the reality is a lot of people say, visualize it and it will happen. Set a goal and it will happen. And it's more than that. It's actually much more than that, because once you gain that clarity, you have to have a strategy. And I'll give you an example. If you decided to quit chocolate, I mean, we're recording this. It's 9:45 in the morning. It's 10:00 in the morning. Thank you. It's 10:00 in the morning. We're recording this. We probably don't feel like chocolate right now. So we could quit chocolate really easily. I'm done with chocolate. I'm out, right? No problem, because it's 10:00 and I don't feel like chocolate. However, that's not the time it's going to be a challenge. When it's going to be a challenge is 9:30 tonight, when I'm sitting there with a cup of tea and Mr. Toblerone Bar is calling me from the refrigerator going, hello, Mr. Toblerone here. And now I'm going, now I have a problem because I don't have a strategy for that time. And so the idea of the running shoes is the same. It's easy to go for a run on a beautiful morning like it was today. But if it's raining and it's winter and it's cold, right, we got to have a strategy for then. So I talk about focus on the stumbling blocks. What's the things that you know are going to stop you consistently? So as I said, have a when-then strategy. When that happens, then this is what I'm going to do. So when it's going to be raining and it's going to be hard for me to get out of bed, put the shoes on underneath the alarm clock on the other side of the room. So when that happens, then this is what I do. If, you know, I have a strategy for 9:30 at night, when Mr. Toblerone Bar screams at me from the fridge, then I'll have something else ready to eat and I'm prepared. And it's no different in a business context. It's no different. People walk in and there are 15 distractions that happen in the course of the day through to, you know, their own decision to decide to read and consume some Herald Sun that's going to 10th send them into toxic world, through to having a coffee with toxic boy, through to, you know, deciding to do any number of activities which put them in a negative mindset. And it's, again, when you walk in, when that's going to happen, when you're going to be confronted with some obstacle, right, some stumbling blocks, as I talk about them, when that's going to happen, then have a strategy so that you're completely ready. So even though you got your vision, right, bad stuff's going to happen along the way. And that's just, you know, things are going to take you off the mark. So you got to have a strategy for those times.
And I mean, you know, bringing it back to what we've always been about, plan to become what you plan to become. So, you know, we do deep dives into cash flow.
Yep.
Because there are going to be situations, there's going to be roadblocks, there's going to be detours, there's going to be so you've got to have your buffer.
Yep.
You've got to make sure you've got enough in reserve. You can't just stretch yourself too far, because the whole card, you know, house of cards will come down if your cash flow dries up.
Yep.
So hence we come back to defense and how we put those defense mechanisms in place. And, you know, it sort of leads into this story of, just having a vision is nice, and that may start the conversation, but it's actually, you know, where the traction is, where the rubber hits the road, is in the detail, isn't it?
Yes.
And you know, putting that alarm clock away from the bed, so you've got to get out to turn it off, and your shoes are there, and the mindset is like, I'm just going to do this.
Already there.
I'm there. All I need to do is put those shoes, and I'm out the door, and I've achieved what I set out to achieve, as opposed to alarm clock, tap, snooze, tap, snooze, tap. You can get into that. Yeah.
Correct. Perfect.
The best analogy that I've heard talking about what you're talking about as a hazard of your industry in terms of getting people pumped up was a good mate of mine. He said to me, is wool flammable? And I'm like, yeah, I think wool's flammable. And he goes, no, I actually grew up and my father was used to shear the sheep.
Yeah.
And he showed me, and he grabbed the wool and he put the lighter underneath the wool, and it does burn, right? But as soon as you take the lighter away, it stops burning. So it actually relies on having the source underneath the wall for it to keep burning. And I think that's
interesting.
Probably the downside analogy of what you do, what you described before, is because I've been in one of your talks and I felt charged. It was terrific. And by my nature, I took on board a lot of what you said because I thought it was terrific stuff. But I've seen it where, so you're in the wool burning business and you've got to try and get, and I think you've successfully done that with a lot of the frameworks you've done in the book.
Thanks.
But you're trying to give people the lighter underneath the wall to keep the fire burning without you actually being there. And I think that's why you get cut through on a lot of your messages, because people have asked for you to come back because useful belief is useful.
It's
practical. Use it straight away without having to read 20 personal development books. You just got to remember, I love airplane food. I love hotel sheets.
What was the name of that real estate presenter at the Australian Real Estate Conference? So we went to this conference. And it's famous.
Bob Wolf.
Bob Wolf, right?
Yeah.
A fantastic sort of really powerful presenter. And he comes up and he's got all of these notes. And he goes, I've got a super successful business. It's amazing business. I've got all the secrets right here. But guess what? You're not going to use them.
You can have them for free, but none of you will actually ask me for it. And the crowd was in raptures. He goes, not a single one of you. And he's like, I bet there's 4,000 people in this room. I'll probably get 10 emails. But I'm going to give it all to you if you email me.
Yeah. Like, it's just, and everyone, like, true.
It's true.
Yeah. People aren't going to email. They're going to walk away, have all the notes, have an action point there, and get back into their lives.
I think it's a danger, and I'm actually speaking at the Australia Real Estate Conference this year, which
fantastic.
Is great.
Oh, cool. We'll see you there.
Which is cool. I think I'm the last speaker on the Sunday, which would be great.
Yeah, good.
It's just
Sunday and Monday. So
it's a Sunday Monday conference.
You're on Sunday.
No, I'm on Sunday.
People are charged on Sunday. It's usually the Monday because
I got a good spot.
Yeah, you got a great spot.
I'm actually right before the networking, so they're bringing me in just to send it up, that'll be terrific. So I'm looking forward to that. And the reality of it is, what I've absolutely tried to do, and I believe we've done it very successfully, is simplify the messages and absolutely take complicated ideas and make them simple, right down to useful belief and this one, which is very much useful belief 2.0.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is this useful? Could be, those are three words. I mean, I see companies take their team on we're going to go on a time management program. We're going to do an 8-hour time management program, which is hilarious to me. I think an 8-hour time master program.
You get 140 minutes.
I'll break it down in three words. Is this useful? We start thinking about what are the useful things in your life? What are the things that work? What are the things that don't work? What are useful activities in your life? Is this what I'm about to do? Is this a useful thing? And so breaking time management down to three words. But with all that, I think it's very much about that idea of just simplicity. And I know I spoke about it briefly last time, but I think it's probably worth hitting again. I believe the trend in 2018 for people who are out there trying to increase their results, I think it really comes down to three words to me. Certainty, right? You've got to have a certain message. You've got to absolutely be clear about what you're about and what your offering is and how that benefits people. Certainty, boom, that's number one. Simplicity is number two. For a simple reason, nobody buys when they're confused. Nobody's buying when they're confused. When they're confused, they freeze. So certainty, simplicity, and then number three today, more important than ever, and why I wrote the book, Cut the Noise, is effectiveness. Because there's so much to pay attention to. Are you paying attention to the things that matter, or are you paying attention to a lot of the noise? And that really, to me, certainty, simplicity, and effectiveness, I believe, really drive the bus in 2018.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a guy by the name of Donald Miller. Have you heard of him? How to Build a Story Brand. He talks about all the messages that we're bombarded with. He says there's two things. We're looking at the message and go, we're assessing how can this help me either survive or thrive. One, two.
Right, there you
so
go.
So cut the noise, thrive straight away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then secondly, I've got to use the minimum number of calories possible to absorb the message.
Yep.
So if you talk about what you just said, certainty, simplicity, and effectiveness, how do I survive and thrive? Well, I want to cut the noise and live a better life. And then, as we said on the previous book, Ben, and the style that, that Chris writes in is you can read it in one sitting, and a lot of it is retained because of the story.
Yeah, it's got it's a great story. Tolkamore, in terms of going up the bush. My folks are at Yarrawonga. So
there you go.
The Murray River. I know, you know. So when you're telling that story, I'm feeling it because the colours of the gums, the river gums, and all of that. Different sort,
You had to like that as an old American that I brought a little country Australiana.
And people may not know.
My books are actually, they're unlike other books in that obviously most books are the 15 steps or the 7 ideas. Like these are actually
the key takeaways.
The key takeaways, but these books are fables. So there's a fable. There's stories.
There's stories.
I tell a story about a brother and a sister who go up to Tokemall for a wedding. There's another story about a business meeting that turns into a cafe in Melbourne. And it's just I think people when they can read a short story and they can read this as a fable, it just resonates and it sits with them. So.
And sorry, just on that point, unless you got something.
I do, but go for it.
Well, it's more, I was sort of moving into those frames, like the sort of the consciousness that you're in at that time. And you talk about love, money, and accomplishment.
Yep.
Now, they were just so clear, so simple to understand in the sense that when I'm in this zone, you know, I'm in the love zone. So when I'm family and enjoying a wedding or whatever, I'm thinking about the love in the room. I'm thinking about love as the foundation of that. Then, you know, when I'm at work, I am thinking about the money. And obviously, you know, this is a podcast about wealth creation. This is about taking action in your own personal circumstances to think about money. So when you do want to think about money, put all your focus onto it. Put all your focus. So if you're going to get a professional to help you, when you come to that meeting, everything's about that time.
Yeah.
Everything's about, you're basically filling the gap. The most reason people seek help is they realize that there's probably better people out there to do that. And basically, they need to have a better understanding. They need to, you know, we need to keep it simple for them, but it needs to be an effective and they need to get clarity. And if they've got that certainty you talk about, they can then take action.
It is a great concept. Love, money, and accomplishment. Oh, and phenomenal. What it really is for your listeners is, I've seen so many motivational speakers who stand up in front of people and they trivialize things that are a reality of people's day that they don't really enjoy doing, right? So let's just take a moment and say, I've seen these speakers go, you gotta love prospecting. Nothing makes me happier than when I pick up the phone, right? Now, there's an element to that, that's an incredibly useful belief, and and that's great. And I watch the audience when the guy says that, and what you've got is you got 2% of people sitting in the front row going, oh, yeah! But you got 98% of the people who've just slumped in their seat.
Yep.
Because the truth, right? The reality is they don't enjoy prospect. And right now, today, that's not going to be enough for them.
Yeah.
So I came up with this idea of love, money, and accomplishment to say, you know, the problem is that they think they have to love prospecting, or they think they have to have fun every minute of the day. Now, actually, this is just a little bit of a societal thing. We are living in a world today where we do believe every single minute has to be fun.
Instant
it has to be exciting. We live in this instant gratification time that if I'm not having fun, I'm standing in a line at Subway, I'm going to quickly flip through my phone and give myself 7 hits of dopamine so I can actually feel a little bit better about myself on Facebook. The truth is we don't have to have fun all the time. Nobody in the history of the world's ever had fun all the time. Actually, you know you're happy when you've been sad. There is an ups and down, but we do live in this participatory ribbon world where every kid gets a ribbon for doing absolutely nothing.
Participatory ribbon world?
Yeah.
What is that?
Now, having said that, the important bit of it is the love piece is that we get a lot of young salespeople who make 10 calls and then they go, this isn't fun. Mm. And as soon as they say, this isn't fun, then all of a sudden they go, well, I'm going to quit. That's it. If we really break it down and go, hang on, just everyone stop for a second. It doesn't have to be fun. There's 3 things for us to be conscious again. Mm. I'm going back to conscious. Number one is there are love activities. Mm. Okay. So what's a love activity? As you said, right? A love activity is I'm going to the pub with my friends, or I'm going to a dinner party, or I'm going on a date with my wife, or I'm my partner, girlfriend, boyfriend. We're going to spend time with the people I care about. Yeah. Don't think about work and money in those times. Ask them questions about them. Dial into the what I call the love. You want to call it joy. You want to call it, right? Those are fun things, right?
Deeper dive.
Relationships. The second bit of it is sometimes it's about money. As you said, I'm in money mode. I don't have to be loving prospecting. Just get in the frame of money. I'm for the next 1 hour. I don't have to worry about having fun. I'm just going to go money. That's my focus. I'm going to try to create and grow something that's going to cultivate this business. And sometimes it's accomplishment, right? So sometimes there's no money involved. And there's no love involved, really. Yeah. But it's a job that has to be done. The dishes have to be unstacked. Nobody's going to love that. No one's paying me to do that. Actually, it was funny. My 12-year-old beautiful PJ, you know, we have a dog. Sometimes you have to clean up after the dog. I asked PJ to clean up. He goes, Dad, I don't want to clean up after the dog. That's no fun. I said, no one said it was going to be fun. It's going to be done. He goes, and he said to me, he goes, Dad, how about this? I'll do it, but you can give me $5. I'm like, you got rocks in your head, son. I said, there's no chance. It's not about money. Yeah. It's not about fun, but it's got to be done. Yeah. So get out there and get it done. And so sometimes, and I think when you frame it up that what I'm doing right now, and I'm cleaning up after the dog, as long as I'm framing it up, doesn't have to be fun, and I'm not making money. You can actually, you know, those type of activities, by the way, painting a fence, cleaning the house, they can actually be quite a meditative, therapeutic sort of experience.
Watering the lawn
for me.
Because if you use your mind for a living, using your hands to relax, and if you use your hands for a living, you use your mind to relax. So I use my mind for a living. Oh, mate, to paint the fence and be distraction-free. Give it to me every day of the week.
Everyone's going, you're mad. I went up to Yarrawonga and we're doing a little renovation on one of the vans we have up there. And I hired one of those dingoes, the things you can sit on and move sand and dirt around. And Dad goes, oh, you know, we can move it, buddy, by hand. I said, you don't understand, mate.
This is
me
gold.
Sitting on a dingo all day that I have no idea what I'm doing, lifting, moving dirt, like a kid again. Yeah. So I spent a day on this dingo just loving moving all this all around. And like, you don't get it. Like, this is fun for me.
Yeah.
For other people, it's like last thing they want to do.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so again, framing activity. I think that's a big, big thing because I think it really has helped people because just get into this frame in our lives where not every minute of every day has to be joyful.
Participatory ribbon world. Yeah. I love that. Not everything has like to be that. Cut in the ribbon.
Let's talk about accomplishments. So we've got these also short-term accomplishments, but I also say saving money and hitting money goals and getting – that's an accomplishment.
Yes.
You know, if we – and even buying that property like you said you would that year for your personal wealth journey.
Yes.
That's an accomplishment because sometimes we also get into the – are we making progress?
Yeah.
Because, you know, property is a long-term investment. Are we making progress? And it's like, well, we've always said that. It's like, you know, big heavy bottle of Cab Sav. You know, it's not good drinking early, but I'll tell you what, 10 years' time, you'll look back and that was an accomplishment.
It's built up over time to be there. So you have these short little hits of accomplishments and all that and tick boxes, but this stuff is also, if you save that money for the first property, you got into the market, that's a massive accomplishment.
And that's right, Ben. And that's what we do have to check back to, because we take one step, we take two steps, we take three steps. I mean, the next thing you know, you're three steps further than you were. And then, you know, it is worth noting.
Yeah, it is.
We used to be over there, and now I'm here.
Yeah. But it's a beautiful framework if you're about to embark on a task, Ben, to categorize what the task is so that you can get in the zone to get it done. My last one, Ben, I don't know if you've got one. You've got a part in the book that talks about perfection. Real is better than perfect. And we talked about authenticity before we hit the record button. And I think my question to you is, having done this so often, whenever you get into that space of authenticity and you share with someone, it's amazing how much the walls come down and the exchange is really great and it fulfills you. But why are people so insecure about being in that authentic space? Because the fruit of the authentic space is so wonderfully beautiful, but we have, you know, we've got our guards up. So if you were mentoring someone to get into an authentic space, how do they do that?
I would be talking to people about two things. Today, in terms of your brand, if you will, and mentoring someone around how they come across with other people, I'd be talking about two words, authenticity and knowledge. And having this brand where you're real. And let's just laugh for a second, because I've helped a lot of real estate agents over the last 17, 18 years I've been doing this. I've helped a lot of it. The agents come to me and they're like, Chris, you got to see my brand new promo video. And here's my new brand. And the video's hilarious, right? They pull up in the Porsche, right there they are. And they're doing an auction. They're like, that's been offered. It's sold. And like Tina Turner's pumping in the background going, you're simply the best, right?
Oh,
and, you know, we've had these... this whole sort of promo.
That doesn't work.
Promo, what? That doesn't work. Look, I think we've shifted today. So what I'd be saying to people is, you know, people want knowledge. And they want you to talk about vulnerability. And they want you... I mean, the people are smarter than they've ever been before. Customers are smarter than they've ever been before. Children are smarter than they've ever been before. I mean, our parents weren't going to sit down with us, were they, and go... I got a couple things on my mind, son. I'm having some insecure feelings as a father, right? But these kids can read it today. We can actually have real conversations with our children. And I think just in this situation that everybody is so aware and they get so much information and they have so much more emotional intelligence. And I think to be in a situation where, you know, we sit down and say, you know, hey, this is some of the experiences of people I work with, this experience of myself, and to share that vulnerability and say, this is where we've now gone to, and this is the success they've had. Mm. And to be able to tell those stories makes it real for people. Mm. And again, we got to have the knowledge to do it, right? Because if you don't have the knowledge, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah.
But with that level of authenticity and to talk about vulnerability and talk about result and showing that process of success, huge.
Mm. The vulnerability piece is massive. Now, I cannot stress this enough in terms of basically, you know, this whole idea of perfection versus real.
Yeah.
People who need help to actually be authentic and vulnerable enough to actually ask for help.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people in this world who are vulnerable to the situation that they're in but can't affect change. They're the ones who actually do need to put their head up and say, hey, and it might be professional help that they need or whatever.
Yep.
Because what happens is you go to your mates around you and like, you know, that's all right, mate. No, move on. There's plenty more fish in the ocean. If it's a relationship breakdown, but I'm hurting here.
Yeah.
But you need them to be vulnerable enough to say, I think I need help. You know, and the stuff that mates and family help with is just more about getting around you and saying, hey, Ian, we'll just move on. You know, it's all right. It's all good. It's like, no, that's the worst thing they can do. They've got to work out that they've got to take a learning away from that in terms of understanding more about who they are and then being able to say, I do need help. You know, it's that famous line about, are you okay? We talk about, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, suicides and it's a big problem. Bullying's a big problem. So if you are one of those people who are, you know, you're challenged by your own personal circumstances and you're not in that safe space, you've got to say, I think I need help.
You know, and look, I get a chance to speak, you know, whatever, 150 plus times a year in Australia. And you know what? It's interesting. We talked about women loving the book. Men come up to me so often after these presentations and they bare their soul to me. And men have a hard time making a decision to go seek help. They hold on to it. And so I'm going to say two things right now. A, if you're a man, you go pick up, cut the noise, and think about prioritizing.
Yeah.
And that know that everybody is going through these things. Everybody's going through the anxieties, the stresses, the pressures, and this and the guilt to feel like you're trying to be something. And is it authentic? Is it real?
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully this book will help those people. And if you're a woman listening to this who you know has a man who is struggling with these things, buy it for him because he probably won't buy it for himself.
But
if not, you know, he won't buy it for himself. Yeah. And, you know, we see this at, you know, conferences all the time that, you know, men don't want to register for these conferences to, you know, to get help. And women are much more likely to sign up for things that will offer that level of help. So sign them up. Sign those husbands up.
Well, if there are some guys out there who can relate to that, Ben, there's a talk, a TED talk by Brené Brown, The Power of Vulnerability.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a must watch.
Well, can we put that on our show notes as well?
It's a must watch.
They're just really important things. I mean, ultimately, money isn't everything. Money is a means to an end. It potentially buys us our time. We use property as the main vehicle to get that. We also do shares and other things. But ultimately, it's all about, you know, having a purposeful life where you understand your core beliefs and your identity. It's all in the book as well. We haven't had a chance to do a deep dive into that. But that's why it's a great book. It's, as you say, it's Useful Life 2.0 in terms of how all that comes together. So, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on, mate.
Hey, guys, thanks so much. Always enjoy it.
Has been a pleasure. And, mate, I've modelled authenticity. I've had to come to you and be vulnerable and tell you that I just don't like Collingwood supporters. And it's affecting the way I was working with you. But, that was a joke, but the authenticity piece, that's something that, you know, I was conditioned that, you know, everything's all right, do it yourself. Over the last 3 years in particular, the more I've opened up and the more I've been vulnerable and authentic, the more I've enjoyed the fruit of the relationships of the key people in my life. And I think you're one of the leaders in that. So well done on the book.
Yes.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I think everyone can tell.
It'll be a bestseller. I absolutely know it will.
On the last 40 minutes or so, you can see why, you know, Chris brings the energy, brings lots of useful tips and takeaways that you can use. Now, we will, on the show notes, we'll have a link to social media for Chris. We'll also have a link where they can buy the book, Ben. So get it.
And look, any good bookstores, Wiley's the publisher, so you'll see it in there. I normally see it at the airport bookstores when I'm travelling through.
Yep, if you're in a bookstore now, pick it up. If you're on the train now, click the show notes. We'll show you how to get it online somewhere. Ivis, she's looking at me nodding, going, yep, we'll make that happen. Mate, pleasure. Thanks for coming on again. As I said, you were back by popular demand, which is terrific. So,
and we've got a few more things. So jump in if we're talking shares. Keep going as we have a bit of fun.
Well, a bit of housekeeping here, Ben. Just a reminder that if people aren't part of our tribe, they need to go to the website. We've purposely not gone on the propertycouch.com.au and said sign up for our regular update.
No.
Because we actually want people to get the money smarts, Ben. I mean, the value of that, I don't know how you can place a value on that. It's worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. We're giving it for free. We want everybody in our community to use that. So go and get the money smarts. And as a byproduct of that, you'll be part of our community, Ben.
Yep.
We'll give you updates and we'll let you know when the next Facebook Live is.
Yep.
Well, obviously, there's this one coming on Monday at 5 o'clock, Ivis. But there will be regular. We will be doing them once a week. We've got heaps of really great questions that people have got, and we want to get them out to the people. So we'll still be doing Q&A on the podcast.
Yep. Correct.
But we'll get them out on Facebook as well. So, and for me, my life hack today is from Ryan Clarkston. Written in?
Yep.
Let us know.
Thanks, Ryan.
If you don't have a Bluetooth radio in your car to listen to podcasts, buy a small portable Bluetooth speaker. And he's given an example either, so I don't know if there's any. And use that instead. And he goes, this is how I listen to all 157 eps of The Property Couch. So there you go, Ben.
Beautiful.
Safe driving, Bluetooth speaker in the car. Get it done so you can listen to us. So,
fantastic.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Did you know?
Did you know? Well, obviously, it's been a big week on the stock markets around the world. So we'll do just a little bit of a dive into this information so we can put it into context. Obviously, the markets have been performing very, very well. So I'll put it into perspective in terms of the growth of the stock market. And I'll start with the US. So in the US, since the financial crisis, so the GFC, the market is up 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, since Donald was elected, the market is up 40%. All right. Now, usually you'll see volatility in the market, and that's what we haven't been seeing. So volatility is sometimes measured by a 5% pullback, they call it. So just to give you a bit of an idea, it's been almost 400 days since the US market had a 5% pullback. Now, that into context in terms of the global market as well. So it's basically 312 days since we've had that 5% pullback on the global markets. Now, in context, that's almost double other times where we've had that 5% pullback. So in 2014, it was 171 days. Another period of 2014 was 153 days. In 2007, we had 145 days before a 5% pullback. And then in 2015, we had 124 days. And in 2006, 98 days. So you can see the market does have these pullbacks over time. The US market today opened strongly and basically gave back all of its gains. So it sort of finished a bit flat. The sort of, you know, the FANG stocks are being punched up a little bit, which is fine. I mean, some of their multiples of times earnings are pretty crazy, but that's because the world's moving to digital and they pretty much control the audience.
And FANG being Facebook, Apple,
Netflix and Google. Yep, so you can put Amazon in there as well, so double A for the FANGs in terms of what that looks like. So now, in terms of, you know, for simplicity in terms of what's happened, so since the peak of the market, the market's pulled back around 8.5% from top to the bottom of this short-term correction, and around 2.3% had just pulled back up as of yesterday's little bounce. The same sort of time period, Australian market's off around 5.5%. So not too bad, nothing to sort of panic about. Now, in terms of what's caused that, is this classic case of good news is a bad story. You know, like in terms of the jobs data is really strong in the US, which meant that the wage data was actually good. So you're thinking, well, that's what you sort of want. You want people employed, gainfully employed, and you want them earning more money because that means better discretionary spending. But the reality is when you have historically low interest rates or zero interest rates around the world, once those interest rates start to rise, you've got less disposable income. And obviously that then puts pressure on asset values as well, because the exchange of buying new buildings and new, you know, shopping centers and all that are obviously a little bit more expensive. And then people's discretionary spending inside those complexes a little bit less. So we see some of that asset value moving down. And so when they think that the interest rates are going to rise, what do? They want to take their liquidity out of the markets and basically put it into the bond markets. So when you start to see bond yields going up, that's because all the money's flowing into the stock markets around the world. But when you see the stock market's a little bit shakier, a little bit more volatility, everyone takes their money out and puts it into the safe havens of gold or bond markets. Mm. So bond yields start to come down because obviously there's more demand. So bond values go high, but obviously demand goes down. Now put that into a property context, same sort of thing. When property prices from a capital growth point of view start to rise, the yields are lower because obviously the values, you know, you measure yield against the value of income against the value of the asset. When the property market slows down or has a small correction, guess what? You start to see yields come up. So there is that inversion in terms of what you see around that. So overall, the fundamentals are still very good around the global market. So I don't think we should be too concerned, but it is an interesting conversation that we need to have around how we manage our money and what we're doing, and we're putting money away for a rainy day.
Mate, I did not know that. Did you know that, Iris?
There you go.
Did you know that, Chris? That was, mate, that is, of all the preparation that you've ever done for, did you know, mate? That's blown me away. That's
really?
Yeah. Oh. That's, well done, mate. So there you go, folks. Ben's did you know on the global share market.
Oh, don't ask me about picking stocks.
Yeah.
I know nothing about picking stocks. I just know that in terms of, this is about buyer behaviour. In terms of how humans operate, same sort of thing, FOMO. We have that fear of missing out. The market's moving really strong, so everyone says, I've got to get in, I've got to get in. And then obviously the people getting at the last stage are the ones who usually get hurt the most. But then the panic sets in and everyone gets out when, you know, be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful.
Hey, Roger Montgomery, I was talking about equities and he said, time is a friend of really good companies.
Yes.
And it's the enemy of rubbish companies.
Yeah.
So I thought, what's the inverse? So the time is a good friend of investment grade properties.
Yeah.
And it's not a good friend of just investment stocks. So.
Because remember, when you're buying an investment grade property, you're buying a great business. Mm. And Roger Montgomery also talks about, I'm not interested in the equity markets. I'm not interested in the valuation on that day. I'm interested in the long-term valuation because I'm buying a business.
Mm.
I'm not buying the stock market. I'm buying a business that I believe has future growth and is undervalued in terms of what its potential is in the future.
Hear, hear, well said. So, mate, I think you'll agree the listeners will get lots of benefit out of Chris joining us again today. So if you haven't checked out the first episode back on the 27th of April last year, it was episode 113. Thoroughly recommend that. Yeah. Check that one out as well. But again, we thank Chris for coming on today. And I'm sure at some point in the future, we'll be in the middle of writing a book. We'll get him on. We'll get a few little breadcrumbs. We'll get the exclusives here on the Property Couch. But, mate, until next week.
Remember, knowledge is empowering, but only if you act on it.
Well said. See you next week.